originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it was all for Chuck McGee. Super Sabre wins the Derby for Todd Fletcher.
Basalt will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Mike Pena and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you once again in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Jimmy John's, freaky fast, freaky good. And I guess you could say that about our special guest here tonight too, JT.
Yeah, on many fronts. A man of multi-talents.
Multi-talents indeed. You know, you and I just wrapped up a long stretch in Saratoga and now back here getting ready for the stretch run and the road to the Breeders' Cup and then all of our Breeders' Cup coverage. But we want to thank all of those trainers who took the time to sit down with us at Saratoga, including Randy Bradshaw and Kieran McLaughlin. Wow, some great interviews up there.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. It was great sitting down with those guys in a relaxed atmosphere and actually having them with us when we were doing those interviews. It was very enjoyable. We had some beautiful settings, too. Lovely weather up there at Saratoga this year.
Yeah, just absolutely spectacular. And really looking forward to this next hour here on Trainer Talk tonight as we bring you an interview with somebody who enjoyed, well, more than a decade, about 15 years actually, as a career as a jockey. And he was very, very good. He won 1,849 races in that riding career. In 2012, he was actually ranked 25th in the nation by wins. So, yeah, this is a guy that could really horseback, as they say. I know you love that term. Well, guess what? He can train, too. He's off to a really fast start as a trainer. He has saddled just 14 starters, but how about this? Five of those starters have won. His first win came on July 6th, and he didn't just saddle one winner that day. He saddled three. How's that for a training debut? He is Abel Castellano Jr., and he is with us now here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Abel, welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. How are you?
Everything is great, and congratulations on the fast start.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you.
All right, so three winners in one day. I mean, that's kind of showing off in your debut, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, that was an unbelievable day for me. I was looking forward to have a good start, but the things happened, the way that they happened, I mean, happened so fast that I was really enjoying it, but at the same time, I was like, I wish I could enjoy it more. But that was great. That was great. Yeah.
Did you have an inkling that those horses were going to run that well, or were you a bit surprised?
Well, yeah. I was very. I took my time with the horses, and I want to see my horses get ready. I want to see my horses happy, and I find out that week, out of my five horses that I ended that day, I know three. I mean, I know those three. They was gonna be run good. I think it maybe I didn't expect to win because it's hard to expect a horse win when you train for first time. So I mean, I expect to run good. And, I mean, they surprised me. They won.
Yeah, they won, and they won impressively, too. That was outstanding, Abel. And, you know, most people listening are going to know Abel Castellano, the jockey, but obviously you're just getting started with this training career, so they're not going to know you as a trainer. Talk about making that move from riding to training, and what were some of the reasons that you decided to make that move?
Well, the reason I make the move is since I was a kid, I always like to be around horses, especially when my dad and my uncle, there was a jockey, the role, and I look at it as a jockey. Like, yeah, my dad was a jockey. Javier, my brother, Javier Castellanos, is a jockey too. So I start following more. I fell in love with the horses, first thing. And me to ride it, yeah, that was excellent. But also, I was not feel like everything it was in riding. I feel like if things like I want to be around with the horse, I want to spend time with the horses. And I was not feeling complete in my life. And that's the reason that I make that move, because I knew I can make horses feeling better, and plus, not even feeling better, I want to see the horse the way they're developing. And I always be interested in training since before I start riding. Actually, that was the first thing that I think about when I come into the trial. I want to be training. But fortunately, back home in Venezuela, people they train. It was not my team because in that moment you have to have like good support, like everywhere. Plus, most likely in Venezuela, the people that train horses is the people the people that got money, people the rich people. So it was hard to me to break out in that circle. So what I did, I said, you know, what I did is when I saw my brother, we raised a bunch of races in Venezuela, and he moved the tag to United States. I follow him because I like a little brother always follow his big brother. Whatever do his big brother, he think is he was my hero when I was a kid. So I started being jockey. That's why I took my career as a jockey, because I follow my brother as a hero, and I wanna be like my brother. And that's how I become a jockey. And after that, I find out later in my life, and I say, yeah, I mean, jockey, I was fine, but I feel like in everything, it was not a complete in my life. I said, and I knew when I started to see the horse, or when I started to treat the horse, I said, man, I need to do something else. I want to become a trainer. That's what I want. Because see a lot of moves the training make, they're not supposed to make, but I couldn't tell because I was a jockey. I said, you know what? That's gonna be my next move. I gotta be a training. I gotta be a horse training because I think it. I mean, that's what I want for my heart.
So
that's what happened.
That's a fantastic story, because a lot of times people get hung up on their job, and they're successful like you were, and you're making good money, and it's hard to make that switch, but. But in your heart, you knew it, and that's interesting that you said you saw trainers making moves that you knew they shouldn't make. So,
yeah.
talk about that a minute. You don't have to name any names or anything, but I know, you know, as a jockey, when you're riding these horses and you think the trainer's making a mistake and you still got to get on them, what's that feeling like?
I think it was the worst feeling in my life when they see a horses, I mean, in the wrong spot, or when I see horses, they don't even belong the distance. Things like, that was my worst feeling, and that's why I think that was one of my problems in my my jockey's career, because I'm trying to let it pass, but when I'm talking with the trainer in front of my face, and he will start telling me, oh, this horse, I do this for this and that. I look at his face and I feel so angry because that's not the. We always gotta think about the animal, the horse, in this moment. I mean, bottom line, we always gotta think first about the horse, and sometimes they just think about the distance, they think about this different life, but. My main thing, I think, is we got to focus about the horse. And people, I mean, sometimes trainers will like give you the hand, and I shake the hand, I shake it really hard, because I know they're doing the wrong thing with the horse when I was before I ride it. And after riding, I shake the hand more hard, because I knew they made a mistake when the horse ran bad like that. But, yeah, I got a lot of frustration when I see horses like that in the program or even in the wrong race or something like that, when they race the horse too many times in a month or something like that. I mean, it's absolutely, I mean, to me, it's not a horse training. I mean, it's hard. I mean, what I say is hard because horse training, I mean, we got to think about the horses. I mean, some people, I think that's the most important thing. Think about the horse. Not be in the shoes, but, I mean, take a moment and realize how, I mean, the animals. So we got to take care of the animals. I mean, that's my biggest thing in my life. I mean, take care of the horses first and anything else.
Talking with Abel Castellano here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Abel, when you were riding, you had 14 wins for Todd Pletcher. You had 8 for Chad Brown, two of the best in the business. And I read somewhere that you would actually watch extremely closely how they did things and how their barns worked. Talk about that a minute.
I'll tell you one thing. Those guys is a big example in this business. To find like those top trainers that you say, or even we got more, but I say those two because I was really impressed about those two. I rode winners for them, and it was too hard to see them make a mistake. I mean, they're very professional, they're very horsemen, and I mean, I was very impressed about those guys. I mean, about Top and Chad Brown. I rode for more good trainers, but like in my last few years, me as a jockey, I was really pay attention. How was they doing the things in the barn? How would do the things with the horses? I mean, I was pay attention very, very, very close. And I mean, I'm his number one fan. I'm his number one fan about Chad. I'm his number one fan about Top, because they are good horsemen. They are really good, and you can tell how really good horsemen they are. So I'm very happy to grow winners for them, because I mean, they're very professional people.
What have you taken away from their operations that you use in your operation now?
Wow, that's a hard question. Well, you know, in horses, every horse I see is different. One thing that I'm not taking away, but it's hard. I mean, it's hard. I would say, I don't know. The one thing that I took away from them, too, I don't know have too many horses. Maybe because they have so many horses, they maybe from outside that I see, they didn't make it no mistake. But I would try to not have so many horses.
How about Abel? How about some of the things that they did well that you liked that you're incorporating into your operation today?
They did well. Well, they have a good staff, good people, good groomers, good exercise riders, and that's the first thing that I will. Yeah, that's the first thing I did in a compliment to my team, the team that I work with. I will try to hire the best people, the ones that really love the horses, the ones that really play with the horses. I mean, that's the one thing that I really taken from them, because they really have good help, very good help.
When you start a stable, and your stable's relatively small, but if you emulate those trainers that have the big stables and the way they organize and the way they run their operations, it can take you a long way. Even though you don't have 300 horses in training, if you do the same things when you have, you know, 5 or 10 horses, when you get bigger, it's going to carry over. So it's a good way of doing things. When I trained horses, I used to watch what Wayne Lucas did and Charlie Whittingham and Bobby Frankel, and then try to incorporate those things into my stable, even though I only had, you know, 5, 10, 15 horses. It really puts you on solid ground as your stable expands.
Yes, I think so too. I was talking actually with Shumagay in Saratoga when I went there, and I was talking about that with Shumagay. He does the same thing you told me right now. The same thing he's told me. When you get more horses, I mean, you can really manage them with good people who help. Because I was asking Shumagay, how you do it? Because I only have 12 horses, and I said, how you do it to keep maintenance? I don't know, more than 100 horses. I mean, how do you guys do it? Because I got 12, and I'm going crazy. I'm trying to not make a mistake. I'm trying to not. I mean, trying to everything fall in place, and it's hard to. I only have, like I said, small corporate. I only have 12 horses. So I only have 2 grooms and 2 hard workers and 1 exercise. And I mean, how you guys do it? Tommy, able just patient. The thing is, the time you started, and I think when the times go by, you start having more horses. You start. Make your corporation make it work better, and after that it's gonna be easy to you to manage the horses and all that. I said, really? But yes, that's what the same thing that Shumagay and that I really respect, and I think I'm one of his number one fan too. Shumagay told me to me. So because I asked him, but now me as a trainer, every dance here top pleasure, Shumagay, Chad Brown. If I have a question, I will ask him because those guys, they have so much experience, and I hope they give me the right answer. That's all.
Abel, you said that you grew up idolizing your older brother, Javier, and everybody knows Javier Castellano. He's a household name. What was it like for you sitting there watching him be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year?
Wow, that was I was happy. I mean, I was extremely happy. I was that was one of my best moments in my life because I saw my brother. Well, he's my brother since we was a little kid. We used to beat up each other when we was a kid. He always let me win when we was a kid, but now when we go up, every time we racing in the races, now he don't let me win. So I said, man, how can you, when we was a little, you always let me win. Now we're big, you don't let me win a race now. So it's funny. But that was extremely happy for him because he worked and he deserved that. Not even because he's my brother. As a person or outside the track, people, they know him. He's a great, great, great man. He's like still my hero in my life. And Javier is everything of my life. He's my brother, he's my father, my best friend, he's everything. He's everything in my life. And when I see him to be inducted to the Hall of Fame, that was, like I say, one of my happy moments. I feel like it was my moment, but in my brother's side. And I was happy for the Castellano family because, I mean, the whole family, we are happy for him that he made it.
You know, Abel, Javier joined me for an interview on our Jock Talk show a couple of years ago, and I remember vividly him telling me that he could not watch you ride a race because he was so concerned with what might happen during the race. If you tried to go through a tight spot or whatever it might be, he was so fearful that something would happen to you. It was very difficult for him to actually watch you ride a race. So how about for you with Javier? Can you watch him when he rides?
Yeah, you know what? I can watch Javier ride. But Javier, he's like so professional. I don't have his stuff here. Because I watch Javier ride horses. I mean, he's so professional. He's so into the horse. I mean, and I know he had it, and I know he have it. So I say, well, look at this. I mean, look at how they're doing. But I know, and now that you say that, I confirm that now that you say that, because sometimes when we ride horse races together, sometimes we're checking him back. And I'm behind him sometimes, but looking like for somebody. And now I wonder why he was looking for somebody. He was looking for me. And let me tell you something. Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, I think he had a feel with me. I don't know why, man. Now I confirm that, he had a feel with me every time I ride. I don't know why, but anyway. But with Javier now it's different. Javier is very professional. He's born for this. He's born to be this jockey. He's born to be a jockey. I can tell. Just watch him. I feel so comfortable because he knows what he's doing. He know in the right spot. He always in the right spot. Always be. So now he's very professional. I can say that.
Is he going to be your number one choice of a rider now that you're training?
Well, you know, it's funny. I just want to have a funny story. The first time I'm trying to ride Javier in Saratoga this summer, I could get it because he got Chad Brown, I think. He got Chad Brown. I said, well, that's fine. So the second time, he didn't have nobody. And I told him, saying, oh, no, I'm up in the race. I said, perfect. Oh, let's get Javier. And the second, I called Javier. I said, Javier, you ain't, he can ride my horse. But I said, really? I said, yeah, I can ride my horse and the first time. And the second time, I called him. I said to him, Javier, I told him, you better ride my horse, because if you know, I'm going to call my mother. I'm going to call my mother and I tell my mother that you don't want to ride my horse. And you know what's going to happen. My mother's going to call you and say to you, Javier, you better ride your little brother. You better ride his horse. So he started laughing. I hope I can get it. But, you know, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get it. And he got, thanks God, thanks goodness, he has good business. And he has his own people that he ride for. And, yeah, if I can get his hand, be nice. If you know, it's okay. It's part of the job.
I can't believe he wouldn't spin Chad Brown for his little brother.
I know. I was almost about to call Chad Brown. I said, tell Chad Brown, if you take off, tell Abel Casano, you can ride all his horses for Abel Casano. You cannot ride for me at all. And that would be funny because I only have 12 horses.
He'd be first call for Abel Castellano.
Yeah, I'm going to put in all my horses, only 12. And Chad Brown, I don't know how many he got, 300, something like that.
Now, all right, now wait a minute. Now, Javier, he's the best in the business, right? Or right up there as the best in the business. Let's just say, Abel, that you give him a leg up, and let's say it's not one of his better days, and for some reason he gets a horse in trouble, and you don't win the race because of something that happened because of the ride. How are you going to handle that situation with brother Javier?
Wow. You throw me a good one. That's the hard one. Never thought about that. Well, I think Javier you're right. Maybe he can have a bad day, but it's not going to be... He had to be very bad day because, I mean, Javier is very professional. I mean, I don't know how to handle that situation. That's a good one. How do we handle that situation? I think I would not say too much to him because I think Javier is that kind of jockey. When he make a mistake, he will tell me right away. He will say right away. That's one thing. That's one of the best advice Javier gave it to me. Say, when you think you made a mistake in the race, move early or move too soon or you wait too long and you think, you got in trouble. Make sure when you, as soon as you get off, tell the trainer the truth. Just say, hey, listen, I made a mistake. I should not do this and that. And I think he will come out he will come out and apologize to me and say, made a mistake. I think Javier is not, he's a person that when he made a mistake, he will tell the trainer, hey, listen, I made a mistake. I think it, because that's one of the first advice Javier gave to me when I started riding. Yeah.
Well, you know, you have tremendous riding experience too, winning over 1,000 races, and so he knows that you know what's going on. So, you know, you can't BS a BSer.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No, it happened to me already. I give you one of my friends a chance, one of the jockeys, and after the race, he came back to me, started giving me some tips. I said, hey, well, you know, you should do this. He said, hey, buddy, give me a lot of that horse. It was okay, just a slow horse. He was not a great horse, and he started giving me some. I said, hey, buddy, I was a jockey. Don't give me too much explanation. I know that was. He's funny. He's just slow. Don't give me too much explanation. The guy started laughing. You are good. I know. I was a jockey. Come on. So when I started hearing those jockeys talking after a race, now I laugh because they tell me almost the same thing that I was telling every training. So, it's funny.
Oh, needs God. Blinkers. Might try the grass.
He don't like inside. I think next time we should go outside. He don't like dirt on the face.
Jude, you've heard them all. You've heard all of these. You trained horses for 20 years.
I've heard them all. Yeah, it's funny, but I love it. I love it when they do it to you because, you know, I weigh almost 300 pounds, so it's like there's no chance I ever was going to ride a racehorse, but I've seen a lot of races in my life, but I mean, it's got to be a unique experience when these guys come back and start giving you their standard lines. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fun. It is fun.
Abel Castellano with us here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of this show or any of our Trainer Talk shows, all you need to do is head back over to horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast. It's available for you to listen to at your leisure. Horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Abel, stay with us. We're going to come back second half of the show. We'll talk a little bit more about what you're going through now, making that transition, going from a jockey to a trainer, and some of the challenges that are facing you as you move forward. And we'll talk about some of the goals that you set up for yourself. So stay with us. We'll do that next. It's Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase presented by Woodbine Racetrack. North America's first yearling sale for horses with turf appeal. Featuring 171 selected yearlings by some of the world's leading turf sires. With 40% of the nation's graded stakes held on grass, turf purses higher than ever, and the rising international success of U.S. breds, don't miss the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase presented by Woodbine Racetrack, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky.
I know where I'll be. Where will you be?
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
It all started with a dream. A dream to be the best. To breed the best. To race the best.
Super Saver Ross Amaya, what a finish to the classic.
And to stand the best. Windstar Farm. Dedicated to the dream.
Bakari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Their recent success includes Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks winner Salty and a $1.2 million session topper at last year's Keeneland September sale. This year's Keeneland Book 1 standouts include The Half-Brother to Salty by Candy Ride, The Half-Brother to Multiple Grade 1 winner Honor Code by Tappet, A Colt by Medaglia d'Oro out of the Multiple Grade Stakes producing mare Broadway Gold, and a beautiful Tappet filly out of the Stormcat mare Wildcat. Stop by the Bakari Bloodstock consignment in Barn 3 at the Keeneland September sale.
This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're at the head of the stretch in the Bold Ruler Handicap. Heaven's Runway, Green Grotto, and Matru. Mylute in fourth. It's Matru to take the lead. Mylute now moves into second. Heaven's Runway at the rail. Then Green Grotto. El Kabir is fifth. They come down for the finish, and it will be Matru and Abel Castellano Jr. Mylute was second. Heaven's Runway finished third in 1:21-1.
Welcome back to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. John Embriel had the call of Matru winning the Bold Ruler Handicap. That's a Grade 3, and that was in 2015. It was the final graded stakes victory for jockey Abel Castellano Jr. He eventually made the transition to training horses after sustaining a concussion and not being able to make it back into the saddle. But as you heard him say in the first half of the show, that's all he ever wanted to do was be a trainer, but he proved he could ride horses pretty good too. Abel, welcome back, my friend, and a trip down memory lane for you with that Bold Ruler victory.
Yes, yes, I remember. It was I was great. I mean, we races, top of horses. I mean, that's the first thing I know. That's one thing. Those are things I know. And I win races and top of horses. Now it's different. Now it's totally different. I'm on the other side.
Yeah, on the other side and giving a leg up to those jockeys who are trying to win for you. You know, I mentioned the concussion, and that's what ultimately ended your riding career, but you did try to come back from it and just realized, hey, it's not going to work. Concussions are such a big focal point in all sports now, especially, say, football and even with jockeys. So talk about what that's like when you're coming back from a serious injury and you're still trying to get back. I never understood it. Why would jockeys want to do that?
Well, it's hard. I mean, talk about that because it's not because just to go back and ride horses again. It's, the thing is, when you experience to be a jockey, when you ride horses, when you win races, it's everything you do in that moment. Everything you do in that moment. So it's hard to move on to the next career, next level, whatever. But yeah, I did try. I mean, I was talking with my doctors. I went to do a rehab, to a place they helped me because I lost my balance and my speech. I had to go to therapy space. I had to go therapy to get better and get my balance back. Everything kind of fall apart in my head. So when I start getting back, and I want to get back horses, but I had a lot of feelings, and those feelings was not good. So I started getting on a pony, and when I got off the pony, like a year later after my concussion, I started getting on a pony. And when I got off the pony, I know it was not me. So I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, yeah, it's going to take more time. It's going to take a while to... Actually, you know what? We recommend you to just stay away for, you know, don't ride no more. And you know what? I sat down with my family a year later after my accident. I sat down with my family, my wife and my kid, my mother, my sister, my brother. I said, you know what? This is it. I think it's the time to move on. had a big concussion last time. I had a couple before, but I didn't know what was mean concussion. I had big time headed, all the time headed, and I didn't feel not too good, but I didn't know what was concussion mean. So the last time when I hit my head, the doctor just told me, no, you gotta stay away for horses for a while. I mean, maybe if you can move to something else. So I think that when my family, I said, you know what, I think it's time to move on my career. I want to train horses. And the first thing Javier, he got up from the chair. We went to Florida and see my whole family. We got family reunion. And I took my chance and I told my family, I said, you know, I want to move on to career. I want to train horses. That's what I always wanted to do since I was a kid. And everybody was surprised. But you didn't tell me nothing. You didn't even say nothing. Well, you know, because I was riding all the time. I was making money. I was doing good. I mean, when you're doing good, something. But I feel like something was missing in my life. So when I say that, the people, all my family, they help me and they say, well, if that's what you want, we with you and we will help you. We support you. And I think with the whole support of my family, my wife and the kids and my mother, my sister, my brother, I think I got it through and I move on. But I know I broke my back, my collarbone, and as soon as I heard I want to get back on horses. Because horses, I mean, it's so beautiful animal, so... I mean, horses are horses. I mean, that's one of the God's creations that made it most perfect. I would say most perfect in my life, our life. I mean, they're so beautiful. And that's why I think that's what made me move to my career and also the concussion. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I don't want nothing happen. If something happened to me, nothing happened to my kids or my wife. And I thought about it more for my family. And not think about me. I said, oh, I want to go back to riding. I don't care. No. I took more time. I said, you know what? I think about more for my kids and my wife. I think it's time to move on after this last concussion. And like I said, the doctor, I couldn't make it after a year later.
What about the change in lifestyle? You know, having to get up early, go to the barn, and kind of work all day as opposed to the life of a jockey?
Oh, my God, that's so different. Unbelievable. I remember when I used to get up around 5:30, 6, put my coffee, walk away, go to the track, say hello, breeze a couple horses, come back home, get breakfast. Now I'll get up every morning at 4 o'clock, be in the barn, make sure everybody get up good. I mean, it's totally different. And when I see those jockeys, I say, man, now I really appreciate it. What they're trying to do and the other side, because it's a lot of work. I remember, when I used to get up in the morning, drink my coffee, go say hello to the trainer. If I ride a couple horses, good. If not, it's okay, I come back home. I mean, it's totally different. Now this is more responsibility, be in the barn, make sure everybody walk good, make sure everybody get up good, make sure nobody hurts, nobody. So, I mean, totally different. It's opposite side. So, I mean, totally different. Sometimes I miss the other side, but not much. I mean, I love what I'm doing right now.
That's great. Yeah, it's quite a contrast. And, you know, a lot of times it gets lost on some of the jocks what the trainer goes through. And the trainers always remember, they always tell the jocks how hard they work.
Yeah, especially when you get beat in a race or the jockey give you bad ride. Oh, my God. That's when you really thinking, well, now I'm really thinking now that when I sometimes give my horse a bad ride, and now I see, oh my God, when they give it bad ride to the horses, and look at how hard this training works. I mean, now I appreciate it. Now I'm on the other side, and now, wow, it's tough. It's hard.
Abel, what's been the biggest challenge that you have faced since becoming a trainer?
My biggest challenge. I don't know. My biggest challenge, I would say, is be I'm trying to give it back to the sport. I want to be good horseman, good trainer. That's what I want. That's my biggest challenge. I want to be a good, if I'm here in the business. I mean, as a jockey, I did great. I did what I did. I did good. But in, I mean, now that as a horse training, I wanna be good. I want to be good horse trainer. I wanna be, my biggest challenge is win a lot of races. Not even races, just good races. I wanna win great. That's my biggest challenge.
What makes a good horseman, Abel?
Good horseman, I think, is what it makes good horseman. That's a good question. Good horseman, I think, it makes patient. Patient with the horses. I think that's what makes a good horseman. Patient and always trying to figure out the horses. Because each horse is different. It's like a human. Everybody's different. I think I see the horses. Every horse is different. That's how I make a good horseman. Have patience and trying to figure out each horse that you have in your barn. Like every time I see Top Pleasure, every time you talk, you always say something different in each horse. Every time I see Top Pleasure, even the Sentential Brown, Shoe McGay, Carol McCracken, those trainers, they always say something different to each horse. And that's how they treat them. They treat them different each horse. And that's how I want to train my horses. When I'm train the horse, each horse different, and trying to give it whatever they need, the horses, in that moment.
Yeah, that's a perfect description. And I think if you stick to that rule, you're going to have lots and lots of winners.
Yeah, thank you.
Abel Castellano, our special guest on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Abel, is the plan up the road to maybe go to some of the horse sales and start looking at picking out young horses for some of your clients, or is that still a ways off?
I think it's still a way. So I would like to, I want to go. Probably I'm not going to get big because right now I don't have the owners, but that's what I'm looking for in the future, yes, for sure. I'll look at that for the future.
What's the right number of horses for you? How many would you like to have?
Now I would say normally, I would say between 30, no more than 40, I would say. I think that's the right amount that I can work it with good help. And yes, between 30 and 40, I think I can really work good for that kind of amount. Right now, yes. That's
yeah,
my number.
That's a very old school number, and it's a good number. I think most trainers can be on the scene with their horses every day at 40, and when you get bigger than that, then you go into two operations or sometimes even three.
Yes.
It's obvious talking to you that the horses are the number one thing in your life. Just hearing you talk about how beautiful the horses are and how much you love them. I mean, I think you're a guy that really wants to be with his horses every day and doesn't want to have some assistant training him at an off site or another racetrack.
Yes. When I took my decision to Spain training, I sit down with my wife and with my kid, and I told her, listen, I'm gonna spend a little more time outside. I'm gonna spend a little more time in the barn, working with my horses. I'm trying to spend at least one day a week with my family, with no horses, and just spend my time with the kids and my wife. But it's a lot of time. I mean, I'm the kind of person that I like to spend time in the barn with my horses. Sometimes when I get home, when now the kids in the school, but I'm with my wife. I say I told yesterday I told you don't want to go with me with the band because I'm feel boring here. I want to go to the band. And my wife said, you just came back from the band. I said, well, I want to spend time with you, but I also want to spend time with my horses. Because, I mean, just to see with horses when they lay down and relax. I always like to be with the horse. I mean, it's something like I can't control myself. But yes, right now I spend sometimes more time in the barn than spending my house.
Abel, how many children do you have?
I got three. I got three boys. I got Andrew is 11. I got Abraham is 9, and I got Adam. Adam is 5.
All A's.
All A's. Three boys. All A's.
I'll Andrew, start with the
Abraham,
letter A.
Adam.
Pretty soon, yeah. You're going to have free barn help.
yes. Yes, for sure. If they want to do that, yes, I will help them.
Would you want them to be a jockey or a trainer?
Nah, I would not say jockey. Jockey is a little bit hard. If that's what they want, I mean, I will help them. But trainer, yes, but not jockeys. It's very dangerous. So because I went through so many fails and lucky that I walk away, but sometimes I feel nervous for even for my brother. See him, nothing happened to him, something like that. Because I mean, it's very dangerous sport. Very dangerous. Me as a jockey, horse training is more. It's more work, but it's not too dangerous.
Abel Castellano with us here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. We told you at the top of the show that as a jockey, he won more than 1,800 races. As a trainer, he has won 5 races, but that comes from just 14 starters. So it's almost a 37% win rate. And in the days of percentages, Abel, that's pretty darn good.
Thank you. Yes, Mike. I'm trying to give you the right thing of my horses. Do the right things. And the right thing is patience and good thing that I have good owner. They have patience and patience with the horses. Patience and put in the right spot and that's how I picture.
All right, Abel, so we only have a few minutes left before we have to wrap up the show. We're actually going to wrap it up a bit earlier than normal here tonight because we have a special feature that's going to play at the end of the show, and we want to make sure we do this. A few years ago, you took the time to sit down with Sean Clancy, who was working with us at the time, and he did an interview with you and your brother Javier together, and it was absolutely magnificent and some fun stuff in that interview. So we want to play that for our listeners. So because of that, we're going to wrap up our interview a bit early. And what we like to do at the end is to ask trainers to tell us a little something about them that people might not know. So we're going to play a little game here. It's called 5 Fast Facts about Abel Castellano. And I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions. You answer them for me, okay?
Okay.
All right. So here we go. Number one, your favorite horse that you ever rode, who was it?
Bull Affair.
All right. The jockey that you idolized most other than your brother?
Ramon Dominguez.
Ramon Dominguez. Good choice. You can have one meal. One more meal. That's it. What's it going to be?
Meat.
Meat.
Yeah.
A man after my own heart. Steak buffet. All right. Your favorite thing to do other than racing?
Watch baseball.
Watch baseball. Okay. Your brother wanted to be a baseball player too. I remember that.
Yeah.
Second baseman. The old second baseman. All right. And the last question, what's it like being Javier Castellano's baby brother?
I'm very proud.
There you go. You can't sum it up any better than that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, great stuff. Abel, listen, we can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us here on Trainer Talk tonight. And congratulations on the fast start and all your success. We'll be watching. continued success up the road, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Drum. Thank you, guys.
Keep it rolling.
Thank you.
All right, Abel Castellano here on Trainer Talk presented by Fasic Tipton. Again, we are wrapping it up just a touch early here tonight because that interview that Sean did, not stealing any thunder from what's coming up here on the show, it was tremendous and some really cool stuff. And you hear him talk about how much he loves his brother and idolizes his brother. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a great interview.
All right, well, here you go. Sean Clancy with both Javier Castellano and his younger brother, Abel.
I'm here with jockeys and brothers, Abel Castellano and Javier Castellano, two brothers riding against each other. You guys give each other a break in a race or ride against each other like he's some stranger? First, Javier.
First of all, not at all. You know, you got to be competitive with each other. It's a tough sport, and I got to do room for my team. This year, you know, it's a tough game. You have to be competitive with each other. And thank God, first of all, because we both doing really good. It's a leading jockey here in Pilinco. He represented my last name, and I represented the other side in Belmont. Try to be competitive and try to win some races.
Like, it's exciting right with your brother. But you have to ride, I mean, your horse, you want to win. So he wants to win, I want to win. That's the thing, that's the main goal, that's the bottom line. And if you see him pass by, I'm sorry, bro, but I got to win the race too. Nah, yes. I mean, that's the way it is. This is a competition that he wants to win, I want to win too. So that's the horse racing, and we okay with that.
Growing up, you guys always want to be jockeys? I mean, if both of you, I know when for myself, I always wanted to be a jockey from a very young age. Both of you guys same way?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad was a jockey. That's our hero. We look up to him. And my uncle was a jockey too also. And we grew up in horse racing. We want to be jockey. And thank God we're very lucky. We're very blessed and thankful for all the opportunity we have right now. And we're looking forward.
Yeah, like Javier, he was saying, my father was a jockey. That was like a hero for us. And after that, my brother becoming jockey. And after that, when I saw Javier's riding, I said, man, I want to be the same my dad did and my brother did. And I was looking at myself since I was a kid. Like, I want to be a jockey too, since I was a little kid. And thanks, Lord, for, I mean, the opportunity. We're blessed to be in jockey. And we're blessed to be brothers and be good competition, you know.
Yeah, for you guys to come to Preakness weekend and ride in stakes against each other today, you compete in the sixth race and the Black Eyed Susan. What's that like? I mean, it's got to feel great to get here and be at the top, especially with both of you together.
I mean, like I say, very blessed, but at the same time, it's a lot of pressure because when you soon open the gate, you very focused. You forget about if your brother, your father, or anything like that, any relationship. And it's very competitive. I want to win because we are on the B stage. And you got to be 100%. You got to be prepared mentally and try to show great performance.
Now, Javier's he's on the big circuit in New York. Abel, you're down here in Maryland. You're doing quite well. Have you thought about going to New York and taking on a big brother?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm very happy about Maryland. Right now I want to make myself here more. I want a lot of people know me from here. And yeah, that's gonna be good opportunity. If I can go to New York, that's a big league. So I want to go over there one day. I don't know what day it's gonna be, but I hope one day it's gonna be.
What happens if Abel gets to New York and starts dominating, starts taking a little business from Javier Castellano and Todd Pletcher horses? What happens then?
I mean, I mean, first of all, if I can ride a horse, I wish he can ride a horse, you know, for him. Because if I don't do not good, I hope he do it himself, you know. Like anything else, you need to have the opportunity to come. And I think he's young rider, very talented. And I think he's going to do it very, very well. And the future, he got to make it, he name himself. And I think we're looking forward. And all the best.
All right, growing up, who was the troublemaker?
I was a little one. I want to pick him up, my big brother. So I think I was a little trouble.
He was a troublemaker?
He was. Really was. I'm not going to blame myself. I want to blame somebody else. I want to blame him.
All right, who was the better student?
He was a better student. I was a little brother and the terrible.
No, I tried to be good, but I'm not really good, excellent, but I did okay.
Okay, you two are an American Idol. Who's better?
I am. Yeah, I am.
What are you going to sing?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to sing, but I'm okay.
I don't think it's that question for me because I'm focused to ride horses. I'm not really good singer, and I'm not really worried about it. I'm not looking for that, you know. I think, yeah, I want to ride more horses.
All right, so who's the better dancer?
Me. I can dance it. That for sure. I can tell you that.
Come on, is that right?
Yeah, he can dance.
Okay, so front runner. Who's better on a front runner?
I think I can do front, back. I mean, I can run, come from behind horses. I'm very capable rider. I mean, I don't mind any being front, back. I mean, I like whatever my horse is comfortable.
If they give me fast horse, I'm being front all the time.
Abel, would you have won on Ghost Zapper?
I always want to ride a horse, but my brother took them out. He took them out, and yeah, I would like to, but it's already retired, so.
Would you have won on him?
Yeah, I think.
How about Bernardini? Would you want on him?
Oh, yeah. I always liked that horse. I never had a chance to ride, but yes.
All right, that's the Castellano brothers riding today.
One of the favorite pieces we've ever produced here on the show. It's so much fun. Javier, Abel together. Sean Clancy, tremendous job with that. That was from our 2012 coverage of the Black Eyed Susan and the big races on that day and Preakness Stakes weekend. Fun stuff.
Yeah, hadn't heard that in a while. It's a good one. Tremendously honest, both guys, right? There was never an argument about who was better at what. They knew who it was, and no arguments.
Javier would not admit to being the troublemaker.
Yeah, well.
No, that's you always pin that on your baby brother anyway, right?
Well, they're usually the troublemaker. Yeah. I was the oldest brother, I know.
Yeah, me too.
I had plenty of trouble from those guys.
Yeah, me too. No, great stuff. And, of course, that question at the end, would you have won on Ghost Zapper? Would you have won on Bernardini and Abel? Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
right?
Of course he would have.
It's the horses that make the jockeys, right?
Well, that's what they say.
The horses make the trainers.
How many jockeys have told us that? Yeah. You're only as good as what's underneath you.
Yes. Well, some guys.
Is it the same for trainers?
Yeah. I think it's even more so for trainers.
Really?
Because you can do the work. You can go to the barn every morning. You know, if you're training slow horses, there's an old racetrack saying you can't make chicken salad out of chicken.
Yep.
... And you know, that's really true. I mean, Corey Black, when he was riding, he told me you can't ride a good race on a bad horse. And I think that's true as well. But for trainers, if you don't have some stock that's competitive at the track that you're racing at, then you're not going to win any races.
And you can improve horses, right? Through the way you take
sure.
care of them and your care of that horse. You can move them up a little bit, but if you're working with subpar horses, you can only move them up so much.
Right.
Right.
And
in most instances.
Abel touched on that in the interview when he said, you know, when he was riding and a trainer would put a horse in a bad spot, you know, it's the worst feeling in the world. It's a horrible feeling to go out to saddle your horse and know that the horse has no chance.
That was kind of a combination jock talk, trainer talk show today.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
Really fun. Really enjoyed our visit with Abel Castellano. If you missed any portion, all you have to do is head back over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this show and all of our trainer talk shows. They're there for you on our website. And by the way, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes, another way to access the show.
You can listen to us anywhere, anytime, any place.
And follow us on social media.
Absolutely.
At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, for our special guest, Abel Castellano, for our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton.